tamata wakatangi hangi kuwe uwo tamata ya turi puka kapiki mom.
Aggregate smallholder farmer and provide all the services that they need, blocks of 500 hectares, making that block a commercial farm with all the advantages.
Welcome to the Blue Continent Podcast. I'm your host, Brennan Pertzer, International Research Coordinator for the Blue Continent Alliance, the Blue Continent Podcast, and your Blue Continent.
What this program is about, this podcast, what makes it unique is finding people who have knowledge or expertise or have worked to address in a sustainable way a lot of global development issues.
My guest today is Demiri Von Kemeti, who is the co-founder and managing director of Alluvial, which is an integrated farm management business located in Nigeria that uses the best of modern technology and traditional methods to deliver environmentally and socially sustainable farming that enriches the environment and uplifts communities. Demiri has a strong background that includes work with the United Nations Development Program and the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. Demiri, thanks for joining me on today's program.
Hi, how are you, Brennan?
You're the managing director, right? Out there.
Yes, that's correct.
I wanted to hear kind of about your concept and what's unique about the way that you've structured your company and the way you've grown. Can you explain a bit about that?
Basically, the concept is aggregate smallholder farmers and provide all the services that they need to them in blocks of 500 hectares minimum. In effect, making that block a commercial farm with all the advantages pertaining to that, and at the same time allowing them to enjoy competitive advantage that comes with being able to buy things at good rates and being able to sell at good rate as well, but also then being able to take care of their individual plots of land in a very intensive manner. Yeah.
Using all the benefits of being able to buy in bulk to cooperate for a better rate for the products, and to purchase with greater advantage as well. In your model, do you have is there a level of ownership that the farmers are also able to take as part of the company?
No, we are separate from each other. We are just a service provider to the farmers, while the farmers also own their farms 100%.
So they contract with you?
Yes. So we are a service. They employ us as their service provider. We don't employ them.
Okay.
They are the owners of their farm, mm-hmm. of their respective farm businesses, and we provide them all the services they require, from financial intermediation to land preparation, and then market access as well.
So you also are able then to organize and optimize the business or all of these farmers so that they're working collaboratively, sort of, and they're not competing against each other in ways that are going to reduce their end result and return, right?
No. There is no competition amongst them, because all they want to do is to produce, and there's a large enough market for all of them.
Yeah. As long as you're helping to coordinate them so that everybody is getting the best benefit.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. Do you see this as a scalable form of that you can continue to grow it, and it's appropriate in other locations besides Nigeria?
Definitely. It's very scalable. We are already in other locations, including Ghana.
Oh, in Ghana.
So absolutely.
That's
so. It's definitely scalable.
I actually spoke my last podcast that I did. I think it was last month. Was with a man named John Hunt in Barbados, and he had given a TED talk with this idea that if all of the farmers could work collaboratively and similar as you, they could feed a higher percentage of their own population, you know, that they could grow things strategically so that everyone in Barbados would be able to eat from that. I thought it was really a unique concept, a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in much of Africa, farmers are smallholder farmers are responsible for upward of 80 to 90% of the food produced within those countries. Wow. Large-scale mechanized farming is not doing a lot in Africa. So anything that is done to increase the profitability and productivity of smallholder farmers definitely will have impact on food security in the country.
That's one of my primary concerns. You see the background behind me, but I'm in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And in the Virgin Islands, we import up to 98% of the food that we consume here. Even though I live in a rainforest, you know, and it has great soil, and we could definitely be growing more of our own food here. But I see food security as an economic and a trade issue that's incredibly relevant as well for expanding the personal wealth of people in society. So I think what you're trying to do is what's being done. I mean, the fact that 80% or more is grown locally there is really exceptional. It sounds exceptional to me as someone living in the Western Hemisphere, where countries are importing in the Caribbean, where we're importing so much of our food. What is your personal background, your professional background? How did you come to become the managing director?
So first of all, 80% of the food in African countries is not being grown within the country. No, what I meant was that 80% of the food that is already grown in the country is produced by smallholder farmers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the balance is produced by more commercial sized farms. And then of course on top of that, actually there's a lot of imports of food in. I doubt if there is any one African country, maybe except South Africa, that is self-sufficient in food production within Africa. I was not appointed as managing director for Alluvial. I established it and worked over a couple of years to get it to where it is. I do not have a professional background in agriculture at all. I studied law and did a lot of consulting work on environmental issues and diverse things in business and civil society that I had done before getting to.
Okay, that's an interesting background to end up there. Were you inspired by something that made you want to take this direction?
Initially, I simply wanted to do a business. It could have been any other business. But once we started with a small commercial farm that we wanted to start and found that we could actually do it better instead of running a commercial farm, we could actually do it better by supporting the farmers who are already on the land. So then we switched to that model and once we switched to that model, it became a lot more interesting than what we had originally set out to do.
It does sound like an interesting model that's healthy for the environment and for the people and their economy, which is all you can ask for. Can you tell about some of the... I read that your company provides advice and not just technical support, but... kind of you guide your farmers and you counsel them. What are some examples of types of ideas that you've encouraged?
Well, actually, the farmers do have a lot more ideas than ourselves, and all we've been able to do is to bring more of the agronomic best practice to the knowledge of farmers and to work with them to find the best solutions to the challenges that will necessarily face a farming business from the technical or even from the economic perspective.
How many farmers are you working with in Nigeria right now?
We are currently in the process of working with 65,000 farmers with the support of MasterCard Foundation. But there are also a couple of other farmers that we are working with in different programs with different partners.
How many would you say are currently engaged? Like 100, 200, 300?
No, they are not up to that. Of course, subsequently, we will certainly surpass 200,000. But at the moment, they are just over 65,000.
65,000?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is, but we're aiming for more.
Oh well, I'm impressed with what I've read about you and what you've been able to accomplish. What is the next step in your progress? What are you working on right now? Obviously, you've probably been impacted by the COVID over the last year. How has that affected your business?
The next step is to just keep at what we are doing. You know, so that's already the next step, to continue to improve what we are doing. Yes, COVID has affected the business in terms of logistics and all of that. But at the same time, as a result of our collaboration with the MasterCard Foundation, it has also offered an opportunity to hit back at COVID. Right, by making sure that we work to improve the resilience of farmers and ensure that they are able to recover from the effect of COVID and in fact even thrive subsequently. So we are already talking with a number of financial institutions, particularly banks, who will now see that the farmers we are working with have a good credit history. They've been able to demonstrate capabilities that are necessary for successful agricultural enterprises, and therefore are more attractive to financing.
Okay, so credit has been somewhat of an issue. I know that Nigeria, compared to much of the world, has been very, the effect of COVID has been minimal compared to some of the other countries, because I don't know. Why do you think that is anyway?
Are you talking about the health impact of COVID in Nigeria?
The health impact has been limited, but it still, I mean, creates problems for your business and every other business. But why do you think that Nigeria has been so successful at controlling the relatively successful at controlling the disease?
I don't think anybody controlled anything. I think someone needs to study and come up with an with the answer to why countries in Africa were not as impacted as Europe or America on the other hand. It could be many years of dealing with other infectious diseases, maybe. So it's easier for people to generally adhere to the advice on what needs to be done to address, to prevent infection.
Yeah.
But it can't be ascribed to just that. So this is an area that is open for people to study and come up with the with the answers.
So you think in the next few years we might get some more answers about that from scientists who conduct research or something?
And social scientists, maybe they'll be able to jointly come up with the answers. It's quite intriguing. I'm sure people are working on it already.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what some conclusions might be there. I think it's great what you're doing, and I'm just wondering what kind of partnerships are you looking to develop at this stage?
More partnership with the farmers and community leaders.
When you talk to farmers that you like to engage, what kind of questions do they have when they talk to you? What kind of concerns do they have, and what do you tell them?
One of their major concerns is the sustainability of whatever we are doing. Is it going to be one season, or are they going to continue to be able to count on us to support them? And we are confident that the programs will be sustained, because the truth is that everyone is looking for the success story. There are lots of financiers, off-takers, input providers, many stakeholders are looking for an opportunity to be involved. But the real question is whether everything has been properly put together and whether there is a consistent history of success, so which is why we are focusing a lot on getting it right.
Right. It's a trust and a commitment and a relationship that the farmer, they have to believe in you, that you're going to be there for them. If they make the commitment to raise the crops that you are pushing for or trying to purchase, right?
Exactly.
I live on a farm out here, and we have relationships with the local schools and governments, and they'll make an order, and we need to know that they're going to follow through with the purchase after they've asked us to grow something, months before they asked us to plant these because they were purchasing it, and they've got to make sure that they're there. You can't cancel on a farmer after it has spent months growing crops for you, right?
The key is for the farmers to be able to produce these crops at reasonable profit for themselves, to be able to be relied upon by the processors. So, there's still a problem of market linkage, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not as a result of the processors getting too much and then rejecting some. It's really more a question of market linkages, and that's an area where we are doing quite well in making that happen.
Have you been able to successfully negotiate better prices for your farmers for things that they're growing? Like maybe they were only earning so much before, and now that you can get them a little bit more for it?
It's actually the market determines that. It's not the case that we negotiate better prices for them. The market determines what the prices would be. But the important thing we do is to make sure that we don't try to hold farmers to a pre-agreed lower price, for instance. We have seen in many what they call offtake agreements, you see that they try to hold the farmers to a particular price. But then on the other hand, when the prices come down, the farmers also are trying to get the previous higher price. So it's just fairer that that things are done on the basis of prevailing market price. Here, of course, most times the prices only go up. They are mostly favorable to farmers.
Okay.
But the key really is not so much of pricing, but profitability, which is dependent on the yield, as well as the cost of this, the services and inputs that they need to be able to get the right level of profit.
At the scale that you operate as a company, do you also have the ability to purchase crop insurance for to make sure that the goods that you're responsible for or supplying, that they're delivered, and you know you are protected, so that if anything happens to that shipment or it goes bad before it gets to market, that are you able to get kind of insurance on that, so that?
Yeah, absolutely. The insurance actually even starts from it starts from the planting. So it starts from the planting before even the aggregation and transport. Okay.
It's insured all the way through.
The goods.
Yeah, that's good. And so,
exactly.
Do you provide the underwriting then for that?
And we get other parties to do that.
Okay. And you have a good relationship with the African Development Bank?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're not doing anything yet in particular with them, but we have a good relationship with them.
I imagine if I were a small farmer, you know, considering working with you, to know that you have a good relationship with the bank would mean a lot to me, I would expect.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah.
That's great. Well, I just want to thank you for talking to me about this, because I think what you're doing is really interesting, and I'd like to see more growth. You said you've moved into Ghana, right? And what additional markets are you looking at expanding into?
Quite a number of other African markets, but that's we're already in quite a number of others, but that's all work in it's all work in progress.
Now, if people are interested in learning more about your company or perhaps investing, is that something that you'd consider taking additional investors now?
At the moment, we're just focused on getting it right. We have no pressure for funding, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but certainly we are interested down the road.
Okay, now how should people reach you if they are interested in connecting with you? How can they get in touch with you?
Maybe by email.
Email is best? Okay.
Yeah.
What's your email?
It's kemedi@alluviatrade.com.
Okay. Kemedi@alluviatrade.com.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will encourage people that I know that are relevant to reach out to you, and I wish you continued success. If I make it out to West Africa, I'll certainly give you a call, and I'll be happy to meet you in person.
I will meet you at the airport.
Okay. Well, that'd be awesome. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks a lot. Good speaking with you.
Very good speaking to you too. Take care, my friend.
Goodbye.
A special thanks to our guest today, Demiri Von Kemedi of Alluvia Trade, and the music of today's program was provided by Nigerian jazz legend and Grammy winner Lekan Babalola. I'll provide links in the episode notes if you're interested in learning more about Alluvia or Babalola's music.
And of course, our theme music, The Lone Ranger by Quantum Jump.
Thanks everybody for listening to the Blue Continent podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And we hope you'll subscribe and join us again. Tell others about us. This podcast is also available in a raw video format found on our Blue Continent Alliance Facebook page. If you'd like to see our mini documentaries from around the world, visit the Blue Continent YouTube page today. Thanks again for listening. Take care.